to Gates Presbyterian Church, friends. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you are looking to learn more about how we are church together, take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar in there. And if you have any questions about our worship, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table after worship to receive any of your questions. We have a lot going on this service. This is a Fusion Sunday, and we are celebrating 500 years of the Reformation. And a Fusion Sunday here at GPC means that we are intergenerational, all ages, worshiping together. So if you happen to have someone new near you or a young person who's unfamiliar with worship, please make sure that you help them find what is needed in the hymnal and make sure that we're all sharing together in the worship experience. All right, a couple announcements as we get started today. First, a warm welcome to all our friends from Laurelton Presbyterian Church who are here today. We're so glad to have you. And friends, GPCers, Laureltonians brought cupcakes. So, wow, talk about awesome. So it'll be great to be together down in the fellowship hall and share in the greeting time together. All right, two other announcements I have. First, next Sunday is All Saints Sunday, and we'll also be celebrating communion. And on the kiosk is a sign-up. We will be serving as a Food Link mobile pantry location again on November 11th. That's Saturday, November 11th. If you'd like to come help volunteer for part of the time or the whole time, sign up. We'd love to have you.
Good morning. Youth group announcements. Today we get to go home and hide and pretend it's nice out. But next week we've got plans. Senior highs are having the first overnight of the year. Starts here at 8 p.m. We're going to play bunco, stay up, hang out, eat pizza at midnight. And that'll be this Saturday night going through to Sunday. So when we look a little casual in worship, that's what's going on. And then after that, on next Sunday from 2 to 4, junior highs will be going to swim at the YMCA. So meet here, bring your swimsuit, get ready to have some fun. They said the slide's going to be up, so this will be good.
Good morning. I'm Linda Beattie and Seth McHale. We're the co-chair people of the Church Mouse Bazaar, and we are celebrating. The Church Mouse Bazaar is celebrating 40 years this year of providing for not only the church, but for the crafters and the community, and the hospitality that we provide and the support. We'd like to, Tess and I'd like to acknowledge the co-chair persons that have come before us, and all the people that have helped. This is an amazing church, and it has taken so many people to help us make this a success. And we would like people, although we don't have quite as many people here as normal because of the rain, I think, if you would just raise your hand if you have ever helped on the Church Mouse Bazaar. Hi, raise your hand high, okay? There's a lot of people that have helped and make this a success, and we'd like to see more. We want to thank you for everything that you've done, and please, I think that the sign-up sheet is supposed to be here in your bulletin today. We have a sign-up sheet. I'm sure it will be here next week. There is a sign-up sheet on the kiosk, and you probably have gotten an electronic email that has a sign-up link to it also. But again, we want to thank you, and I want to tell you about this lady who was the one that had started it 40 years ago, and her story she'll give you.
This is Charlie Church Mouse. He's 40, the same age I am. Way back when, 40 years ago, Bob Kaiser asked me, knowing that I was a craft person, and I at that time was running the lunch bunch, is there any way we could have a craft sale here to bring in some more income to the church? And I said, well, let me talk to some of my crafters. So the crafters joined up, and hence we are here 40 years, and all of you have helped to make this a success. And good leadership is what drives it, and we have two good leaders here, which we hope will keep for another 40 years. So please, sign up. Everybody needs to help for this. There's a job for everybody here. Thank you.
And happy birthday to Charlie. Friends, let us now gather our hearts together for a time of worship. Thank you. stand as you are comfortable and able as we join our voices together in word and, yes, you will see, song as we celebrate 500 years of the Reformation. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our refuge.
And Lord of all the
may be seated. Let us bring our hearts, our voices, our entire selves to God in a time of prayer. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, if we act as if the Reformation ended 500 years ago, we ignore your invitation to growth. You constantly call us forward on the path of discipleship, and yet we remain stuck in our habits. When questions of faith distance us from you, instead of opening our eyes to new possibilities, forgive us. When the ways we live as the church limit our compassion, free us. When we try to be holy in our appearances without changing the way we act with others, awaken us. Help us to be your people in word and deed, ready to serve you with grace and truth. Amen. Whenever we fall short, God is waiting to offer us a hand up. And whenever we confess our faults, God is ready to guide us into better ways of life. Know that God forgives your sins and offers grace that is larger than we could ever imagine. Thanks be to God for this amazing gift.
like to invite the children to come join me right here up front. Everybody? So, question. Any idea why we've got the bagpipes today and why we're doing things a little differently? Fusion Sunday. Yep. What else? The church's 500th birthday. Not bad, right? Technically, Protestant Church's 500th birthday. 500 years ago, one guy named Martin Luther was like, well, but I think we could do this better. And he had a lot of ideas, and a lot of people after him did too. And so together, all these people built the church that we love today. But 500 is a lot, right? Can you guys picture like 500 years and really think about that? I had problems. Really? Man, that's so let's talk about something a little bit more tangible than years, right? Like, I have a goldfish. Any idea how big 10 of these would be? 10 of these together, you think that's big? How big? Use your hand. Alright, so what do you think? How big would this be? In a cup. What do you think? This big? What about 100? Talking like this big now? A bass. How about 500? Huge. I was surprised. 500 goldfish is not that many. That's 500 of them. Well, $4.99. 500. It's not that many, right? It looks kind of tiny for fish. All right. 500 houses would be pretty big, but right now we've got this one house for us in the church. So, how about you guys take some goldfish if you want them, not required, and take them back to your parents if you think they want them. And then let's go take a look at those blocks we've got up there. All right, you ready? Take a look. We might need to circle around for this one. What do you think this is? A building? A temple? All right, one vote for temple. What do you think? No, nothing. No one's going to give this to me with the giant cross on top. A temple? You think it might be a church? All right. Yet you didn't tell me. So today, since we're talking about all the people who built the church over 500 years, we're going to have you guys help to build the church too. The church isn't just the building, right? The important part about the church are the people and all the different things that we do together. What are some of the things that we do in church? Learn? All right, that sounds good. What else? Sing? Yep, totally. Candy? That's right, we do. What else do we do? We share news, right? You were sharing news up today. That was awesome. So what I'm going to do is give everybody a block and grab a bunch of markers. And if you need different markers, you can come up anytime during worship and swap them out for new colors. Oh, you wanted a block too? Yes. Yeah, and I want you to draw on this something you like about church, something we do together. You can draw Sunday school or everybody singing. You can draw candy with a person, someone eating candy. all the different things that we do in church. And then at the end of church, you have till the end of church to finish this, we're going to come up and we're going to build this church again with all of our favorite things in it. Does that sound good? All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then it's time to grab blocks. All right, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for our church and the people we love. Amen. All right, everybody grab a block. Start with some markers. If anybody else likes coloring, we got plenty. Come on up and grab one.
is from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Our second scripture today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. Listen now for God's word to us. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silent and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being is justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, irrespective of law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Friends, this is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God.
In case you haven't picked up on the theme, it's a pretty big day in the church world. We mark the 500-year anniversary of when Martin Luther nailed his 95 complaints, theses, to the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg. But friends, as an aside, when you are leaving this morning, the trustees would request that you not use nails or tape when attaching your complaints to our double glass doors. But Luther didn't use nails either. So he presented his 95 theses to the officials in Wittenberg, intending to start a conversation, not intending to start a new religious movement. But anyhow, the church reformers that day, as the day the Protestant Reformation begins, some religious leaders suggest that we really even shouldn't remember this day at all, because we shouldn't celebrate a painful schism or separation in the church. And it's true. This day marks the day we separated from the Roman Catholic tradition, and it's taken 500 years to be able to call each other brothers and sisters in Christ again. We still haven't fully reconciled that relationship. We prayerfully acknowledge the brokenness of those relationships as we think back on what it means to be part of a religious tradition that grew out of a schism. We pray to be reconcilers and not dividers. Yet here we are, singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," or at least attempting to. We're not Lutheran, so we just do our best. But that's the one hymn written by Martin Luther that we can actually tolerate to sing at all. So, why? Why then do we pause to remember Martin Luther's act of defiance, his stand for the gospel, his cry for change for the church that he loved? Well, I think it's good for us to remember where we came from. It's good to remember that our reforming spirit is built out of this very creation. We as Presbyterians often say that we are the church reformed and ever reforming. But that doesn't mean that we are the church of, you know, what's hip now, abandoning our past tradition. It doesn't mean that we are the church of what makes us good, feel good and warm and fuzzy inside. It means that we trust that God didn't finish speaking to the church when the Bible was canonized. It means that we trust that God is still speaking new words to the church way back in 1517, and that God is still speaking to us today. The language is even included in our Book of Order that says that the church affirms that the church reformed always to be reformed according to the word of God and the power of the Spirit. Now some suggest, and one of the foremost being scholar Phyllis Tickle, that this reformed and always reforming happens about every 500 years or so. In her book, The Great Emergence, Tickle uses the analogy of the 500-year rummage sale to describe religious change over the years. Tickle said that historically the church cleans house every 500 years, holding this giant rummage sale, deciding what are we going to let go of and what are we going to keep, so that we can make room for new things.
Rummage sales are pretty much always a good idea, whether they're metaphorical or literal. There's nothing like the satisfaction of finally getting rid of that stuff that's cluttering up your closet and being able to see what's actually there. Just like tearing down ill-fitting practices gives the church space to try new things. The problem is that getting ready for a garage sale can be torture. How many of us actually get rid of all those old t-shirts that we admit we are never going to wear again? Yep, me too. If we really bear to clear away what's taking up space, even if we need it to have space for our future, sometimes we even agree that, of course, things are going to go, no, I don't use that tennis racket, of course we can donate it. And then we end up sort of hiding things from garage sale customers in a corner or even sneaking it back in the house when no one else is watching. Over 500 years, there are quite a few things that we swore we were going to put on the rummage sale. We got rid of a lot. But then somehow, over the years, stuff just keeps coming back. Today we'll take a look at some of the ideas that we said we got rid of during the Reformation, and then see what's turned up again. One of the first things to go 500 years ago was, weirdly enough, the church's focus on communion. No Catholic service was complete without the Lord's Supper, for they believed that the bread and the wine literally became the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Worship was centered around the miracle of this sacrament. The Reformation brought the focus of worship from word, one of the reasons that we have our and center. Worship was a time for people to hear scriptures and to learn from them, to take them home and carry them in their hearts, read them whenever they could. The congregation was supposed to be more than passively receive communion. They were supposed to hear the Bible in worship and then keep thinking about it, just and reflecting on those scripture passages all week.
Now, we aren't about to put the Bible out for the rummage sale, but there are plenty of attempts for folks to sneak back in an understanding of worship that is focused on just passively receiving the Word of God. At times, that shifts our focus from how God's Word orients us, turns us toward God. And instead, we sneak back in thinking that worship is only about me, about what I get out of it. And then worship becomes a chicken soup for the soul type of experience, right? The perfect portion of good feelings. And when that begins to happen, time for another Reformation rummage skip.
Another thing we Protestants got rid of was an unquestioning belief in the Pope, or really any earthly authority at all. We were done with taking orders. The Pope's words were considered to be rule of law. Every person was supposed to obey them without question. Kings and queens even asked for the Pope's validation to begin their rule. Martin Luther started questioning the teachings of the Catholic Church, and we've been asking questions ever since. Our confessions teach us that Jesus is the Church. No popes or kings for us. As Christians began to question the heads of their churches, they also started questioning the heads of their states. Presbyterians especially like challenging unjust rulers, the point where the King of England called the American Revolution that Presbyterian Rebellion. Not bad, right?
I love that. The Presbyterian Rebellion. But here we are, 230 years after the American Revolution and 500 years post-Reformation, and we're still trying to figure out what that relationship between the church and the state should look like. Should it be on the table, the rummage sale table, or not? And one of the ways that that conversation bubbles up from time to time is the appropriateness of the American flag in the sanctuary. So when I was right out of seminary serving in my first church, the American flag was right next to the pulpit, and it blocked my ability to see one side of the sanctuary. And I just didn't even think about it. It was a practical matter for me. I just moved the American flag right into the room next door. But when I got to church that Sunday morning, I found that the flag had wandered back into the front of the sanctuary next to the pulpit. And this game of back and forth went on for a really long time before Session started asking some questions about this traveling flag. And it was a great conversation. We had a chance to reflect on the Reformed and Presbyterian tradition and the fact that the single-minded goal of the Reformers was to keep worship focused on the source of their ultimate hope, Jesus Christ. And we talked about how the fact that the only adornments that the Reformers allowed were the ones that directed people to Christ and to his word, the baptismal font, the communion table, the pulpit, our churches so perfectly designed, the Reformers would love it. So at that church, the session voted to keep the flags displayed in the fellowship room adjacent the sanctuary, because, of course, they were a reminder that whenever our congregation gathered for worship or other activities, we did so under the laws and protection of this country. And for that, we give thanks. But as Christians, our loyalty is first and foremost to Jesus Christ. Solo Christo, or Christ alone, which was one of the hallmarks of the Reformation. Sola gratia, grace alone, was right up there too, which is why Martin Luther and the other Protestant reformers wanted to put this in the rummage sale. Okay, so not money literally per se, but what the church was trying to do with money, which was to sell indulgences as quite a creative fundraiser to restore a building. But anyway, the basic idea was that you could buy yours or your loved one's salvation. This was one of the main issues, of course, that historians say really set Martin Luther off to write those 95 complaints. Salvation is a gift from God, not something you could buy. There were so many negative consequences that emerged from that theology, including the fact that if you couldn't afford your salvation, you weren't really welcome in the church.
We like to think that we've solved these problems today. Everyone is welcome here, right? But there are still plenty of people who feel left out of church, and they're not sure whether accidentally or on purpose, we've made this ministry that alienate some of God's children. So what stops people from coming to church today? One of them might be the weather. But there are a few more. Like it or not, church gets a lot harder to be part of if you don't have these. People who can't drive may have a hard time finding a ride, or might just feel nervous or embarrassed about asking for help. Others might have a car but need a family member to take that car to work instead on Sunday morning. Sometimes people have a way to get to church but no time to do it in. Family schedules keep them busy. Instead of coming when they can, families may not want to be guilted about their attendance, so they just avoid church together. Older members may not feel comfortable coming to church if they're wearing these, especially if they're still getting used to them. We say that everybody is welcome in church, but people don't always feel welcome if their bodies aren't perfect. And some people don't feel like our mostly white, mostly educated, always in English services have anything to offer them. When you're a new immigrant trying to get used to life in Rochester, a confusing hour in church trying to figure out what's happening might sound useless. And if you don't have a passport and you're afraid of getting deported, church can be a minefield instead of a place to discover God's love. It is scary to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or agender, walk into a church. Our church may be welcoming, and everyone's church has been a place of hatred and exclusion. And that can scare visitors who may not even take the time to get to know us. Single thing separates us from God's love. Not once, not ever. So what can we do to fix the thing? And figuring out what's weighing the church down. There are plenty of ideas that used to fit, but are a little too small for the broad scope of our church and for our city today. There are also things that mark who we used to be, don't fit who Jesus is calling us to be. So what does your church need to let go of today? What is taking us away from serving Christ? Melissa and I could keep moving things around this table for a while. We've got plenty of them. But we're all part of the church. So it's time to hear what you have to say. 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the church door to say that the church was falling short of God's call. Today, we want you to do the same. Now, I've tried nailing things in worship, and it is not family-friendly, so instead, we've got post-it notes, as you may have noticed in your bulletin. I want you to take some time right now, grab a marker if you need to, grab a pen if you need to, and write the answer to just one question. What does the church need to let go of today? Don't take too much time and overthink it. I promise no one's getting graded. Go ahead and write, and when you're ready, just come up and place it here on the church door. We'll share these plans, part of our prayers today. Amen. Thank you.
fair that the Catholic among us should have a chance to put his on up on the door. So, friends, let us join our hearts together in a time of prayer. And please note before I start praying, that we are going to have a little bit of back and forth with leader and response. And so when you hear the words, "We receive your gift of grace," respond with "open our hands and open our hearts." What Katie and I are going to do is we're going to read some of these sticky notes as our prayers, and we'll indicate to you when to join together. Let us pray. On this Reformation Day, we thank you, O God, for those persons you have poured your spirit to and then set about reforming your church. We thank you that you are still at work in the life of the church, reforming us, reshaping us, remaking us into your image. We receive your gift of grace. Open our hands and open our hearts. Hear these prayers for what GPC feels called to let go of today. To let go of the fear of change and doing things different, of judgment. We receive your gift of grace. Open our hands and open our hearts.
We need to let go of worries of being judged, worries about finances, fear of scarcity. Oh God.
We receive your gift of grace. Open our hands and open our hearts. Our church joins our voices today to let go of prejudices about people or ideas that are different, negativity, trying to change. We receive your gift of grace. Open our hands and open our hearts.
We need to let go of complacency, of hatred, of restrictions and requirements. Lord, we receive your gift of grace.
Open our hands and open our hearts. God, we feel the need to let go of the fear around having difficult and political conversations. Of dated practices. Of exclusivity of the building. We receive your gift of grace. Open our hands and open our hearts. And one of the ways we reflect your image, O Lord, and be your church is how we continue to open our hands and open our hearts and care for one another with love and care and prayer. We pray for those this morning who are in hospitals and nursing homes and homebound. We pray for their families. We pray for those who are grieving. Lord, may we reflect your image and our love, that we put our faith into action for all your children. Lord, we pray for those this morning who are suffering under violence, whose countries are being torn apart by war, for those living in poverty, and those who have been affected by disasters. Lord, we pray for your church, that we would be a beacon of hope and grace, love and light in this world. May our open doors reflect your open arms to all. May our hands and hearts reach out to those in need and reflect your love. We offer these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As we give thanks to God for all that God has provided in receiving this morning's offering, anyone who still has some wooden blocks, Katie and I will meet you at the communion table, and we will build the church together. Let us celebrate with this morning's offering. Help us build it. It can't just be on Katie and I. There we go. Thank you. You guys.
Strengthen your church. Amen.
Fellowship and with snacks. But first, if I were you, I'd take a look up there and see what our favorite parts of our church are. And take a look back here and see where we're going in the future. And know that everywhere we go and everything that we do, the love of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, will be with us all. This day, for 500 years to come at least. Amen.